Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we are talking about death, and in particular, how death can be a portal for us to experience life more deeply, more richly, and to really connect to a deeper meaning and purpose for our lives when we really look at this fear we hold within us, and that really underlying many of the other fears we have, if it all is boiled down, it comes back to our own mortality and, you know, what are we doing with this life? Why are we here? So we're excited to unpack this topic today. And we've chosen this particularly at the time of recording because globally, this is a time where many cultures are celebrating the death of loved ones and really reconnecting with those that have passed. It is said that the veil between the worlds, let's say those in bodies and those not in bodies, is thin, and that we can connect with souls that have passed and loved ones in particular more easily. And I know for myself, when I lived in Hungary, it was a time of year, and I think it's the same for Amanda in Mexico, where a lot of people would go and spend time in the cemeteries. And in Hungary, it was, I think, a whole day. And I think even it was maybe even in the evening, and they'd set out candles, bring flowers, and then, you know, the next day spend all day in the cemeteries, you know, with their whole families would come. I think it's actually a national holiday where they, you know, reflect on those that have passed, and not in a morbid, sad way, but really celebrating the life of this person, and they're remembered. And so for Amanda, I know it's Day of the Dead there for you, and that there's a lot of celebrations happening there. So let's dive in to this topic. Amanda, I'm going to throw it to you because death is also a big part of your journey and your awakening. You know, we've talked about how your mum's passing, and also before that with your uncle and the experience that you had with his transition, that these were really spiritual moments for you that really connected you to something else. And so death has played a large part in, you know, you really tapping into a deeper meaning of life. Where would you like to begin with our conversation about death today?
Okay, where should we go in? Yeah, I think I'll dive in with speaking to what I've observed from living in this culture of Mexico, relative to my experience from my culture, which some of you that are listening might have similar experiences where death is kind of avoided, ignored, not talked about, not want to face it. And it was my grandfather and my mom that were very potent experiences for me in terms of having a different understanding of my own life. What am I doing with my life? What is beyond this life? A lot of questions started to come about from these experiences with death and me re-examining, like, what is it? What is this whole experience of life that I'm living that I didn't previously consider? And like I said, I think it was in our last episode that it was a Mexican woman who opened me up to the idea that someone was visiting my grandfather. And so it's funny. I sometimes walk around Mexico and I look back 20 years ago to realize that I live here. And it's just fascinating to me because that was such a pivotal experience, opening up to death. And then now I'm like living amongst a culture where people are very connected beyond this physical realm, and it's interwoven into all aspects of life here. And so I think that what I've observed here is that people are living, like they live hard, like they play hard, they love hard. And they just, it's almost like there's an acknowledgement that this life is meant to be lived. We're not meant to be afraid of everything. Interesting story that was brought up today at the dog park. And a gringo went to a meeting with the municipality here and was asking for all these safety measures for something. And like, nope, that's not what we do. Like, that's not our, like, and it's like, it's kind of on a tangent here, but it's kind of like, I see that it's almost like we live in bubble wrap where I come from. Yeah, it's like, we just want to be protected from any sort of danger. And then what happens is that we're not truly testing ourselves. We don't trust that, like, we're supported and that what happens to us, like, there's a fate to it. Like, I think almost like if we don't believe in something beyond this world, like, it's easy to live in a lot of fear of death, because if we believe that this is all that there is, it's like, yes, we are going to fear that our time is going to come to an end. And so we want to do something. We want to do all that we can to protect this life that we have. But, you know, the opposite coin of that is that we, you know, we can't just like stay inside all the time and have like what joy comes from that experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was a big moment with my mom where I realized that things in my life, I was trying to prevent things like I'm going to go study naturopathic medicine because I don't want to be unhealthy and I don't want to die. and then I was so rigid around food and that it was like, there's no joy in the experience of my day-to-day life. And the other side of it, what we were also wanting to talk about in this conversation is like how, if we're always focused on that point at the end of our life, right? Mm-hmm. We're not really living in this moment. We're not present to what is. And I think that it, once we realize that there's something like this is just this moment in time, this lifetime that we're living, it's just one moment in the evolution of our soul. It gives us a freedom to let go of attachment to both the past and both what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and 5 years from now. And it's almost like, I feel there's almost like these shackles that the past and the future can have on us.
Yeah.
And when we start to let those go, what we can feel is just like a greater sense of freedom and to be with like what is here right now in this moment in time, what ultimately is something that we created, like every moment we've created for ourselves. And so, yeah, I went a lot of places with that. But yeah, I think if we can start to maybe in this moment in time, examine what do we fear? What are our fears around death? And like, maybe that's walled off. Maybe we don't want to look at it, or we don't want to explore why we are fearful around that. We can start to maybe unpack that a little bit. So yeah. What about for you as far as around death, living in the present moment? Like what's coming up for you?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting, we were talking about the gene key 28. And for anyone who follows gene keys and those that don't, every week of the year, am I right, Amanda, has a number?
It's like 5 days and change.
Days and change. So we've just currently in the end of number 28, which is the shadow side of that is purposelessness. But when we examine that more, it's a fear of death. The gift is presence, purpose, and embracing every part of the path of life. And the city, which is the highest expression of that, is immortality, as Amanda just spoke to, that, you know, as a soul, our soul lives forever. And, you know, this moment that we have an awareness of our lives here and now is just you know, a human moment in time, but really beyond this human vessel, there is a consciousness that is us that lives forever. And when we're really able to, they say, die into the present moment, you know, there's no more time. But anyway, that's a whole side conversation. Maybe one day we'll have a conversation about time. But what I thought was interesting in the Dinghy is it says that, you know, underlying most of our fears, like if we really boiled it down to the base fear, it's this fear of death. And it was interesting to hear you say that your choice to become a naturopath was because you wanted to live a long life, you know, and a healthy life. And it made me think, well, you know, I became a health coach because I wanted to know once and for all, what was the, how do I really be healthy? Like, how do I live this life where, yeah, I'm not sick, I don't have disease, and I'm the strongest I can be, which if I really probably start with that, it's probably because I don't want to be sick and I don't want to die, right? So that was a little like eye-opener. And, you know, I think there's many innate things that I have in within me to be healthy and strong that is my, I was going to say, primal survival mechanism to prolong my life for as long as possible. And then when I think about it on a more sort of spiritual level, I definitely have, you know, an angst, let's say, within that, you know, okay, I'm 45 now. I know I'm here for a reason. 5 more years, I'll be 50. 15 more years, I'll be 60. It's like, shit, you know, am I ever going to get to this? And am I going to be like actually worth listening to when I'm 60 and that's when I'm doing my purpose? Like, I have a real kind of like feel choked up sometimes by time and what time I have left and, you know, a real pressure to get shit done. And then what's really interesting about that, we've also been, we're in a New Earth Collaborative. It's a group for people who are, you know, interested in the New Earth, building the new, all of the things. And there's a book, a monthly book that we read, and one was called this month, 4,000 Weeks. And this book talks about how if we really look at an average lifespan, we've got about 4,000 weeks of life to live. And what really came up for me, which was interesting, is he was talking about, you know, the ways that we perceive time, waste time, quote unquote, and that we're just constantly trying to control it, right? Like, you know, we want to get shit done so we have more time, but there's never an ending list of shit to get done, so therefore there's never more time. So, you know, we have this battle with time, which is literally a battle with life and a battle with death, really. And there's something, I think it was a topic or a chapter on procrastination. And while I would say better than I used to be, really, you know, procrastination and even our avoidance, or when something feels hard and it's uncomfortable to do and we step away from it, this is really just our fear again of, or what really came forth for me of like, what it, you know, this lack of time to live my purpose, like it's hard, but that's what it means to make the most of your life. You have to be in the discomfort. And something that you said before is, you know, where the US society, you know, as opposed to the Mexican one, where this guy wanted the safety in place for, I'm sure, whatever's coming up. And they're like, no, we don't do that because you're living your life to the full. Whereas we want this comfort all the time. We want to feel good all the time. But the truth is, life is going to be pleasure and pain. This is how we embrace life and face the fact that, you know, death is like here all the time. And, you know, I'm going to go into a bit more about how actually like it's part of everything. But to try and wrap that up, because I went everywhere with that. I'm going to try and wrap that up because I went everywhere with that. It's I went on a little wander.
No, I'm following you. Keep going.
Thank you. All right. So, yeah, I've thinking about death, I didn't think that I had a fear of it, but I really see how it's present. And it really shows up for me in this feeling of wanting to be of service and running out of time. And I guess what I really wanted to say about this book was it really just helped me see that when we really want to achieve those things, like we've just got to make these choices where there's not a perfect path, right? It's not easy. Life isn't an easy path. We have to embrace the uncomfortableness of going for things, right? Like if something's meaningful to you and you want it, to create it, have it, make it yours, bring it forth, it is going to be like one wild ride to bring it forth, right? We somehow in our culture have come to think that everything's going to be easy and smooth and fast and quick and perfect. And, you know, I think we look at people's success and think it just happened overnight or it was easy for them. Like, you know, I don't know if that's really connected to death, but really it's about the living part. Like, you know, like the Mexicans, just get it, go to the whatever event that might have fireworks and you might get burned, but you know what? You are living, right? Life is like that. Sometimes you're going to get burned. You get maimed, you recover, you're resilient, you're strong. Yeah, I think it's interesting to start to look at how, you know, death is part of our life every day. And, you know, its connection to time and our fear of it running out. And then really, if we face that, we're empowered with choice. We're empowered in the present moment to do something about that. And then again, it's about how we really need to remember that the future is, it's really not actually a thing. It's just another now moment that's different from this one, you know. And so all our power lies in this now moment, what we want to do, how we want to express ourselves, who we want to be, what we want to say, what we want to say, not do. Like, it's just now is what I want to say.
Yeah, there's a lot you said there and a lot of things that popped in my head that I want to say. First thing, there's a meme that I think is powerful that maybe we can find and put it in the on the website for this episode. But the meme is there's a line and it has past, present, and future. And there's one where the circle for past and future are huge and the present is really small. Mm. And the other one is where the past and the future are small and the present's big. So like, and where are we living? Like, which one of those are we living in, right? Are we always thinking about what happened and we can't change our story? We can't create a new reality because we're always playing that story on repeat? Or are we always worried about the future? We're procrastinating and we're not doing things. We're not getting shit done because, well, what if I don't live my purpose? What if I fail? Like, and then another thing is, the number 28, it's in a codon ring with 32. I also have 32 in my chart, and that is the fear of failure. Mm. So the fear of dying and the fear of failure, those two go together. And so when I think of procrastination, like, and I have what comes up for me in terms of why I procrastinate is this fear of failure. Like, what if I do the thing and it's not good enough? And therefore I don't do the thing because, and so I'm putting off doing the thing that I want to do because I'm afraid it's not going to meet my expectations of what I think it should be. But then I never, like, in order for us to grow and evolve, we have to like put in the reps. We have to go through the hard moments to get to the growth that we want to do the thing because we feel there's something in us that tells us like that's we're either meant to do that or there's something in it for us. But we have to just surrender to the discomfort of what the unfamiliar and in a way that's like admitting that, like, you know, sometimes we don't want to feel like we can't do something, or there's this like sense of wanting to be good at the things that we do. And so maybe we just go through what's comfortable and go through the motions and we don't go beyond our comfort zone. And then we don't but then there's this uncomfortability as well in terms of when we're not doing the thing that we feel called to do as well. So it's this, you know, there's so many paradoxes, right? With this, you know, we can feel the pressure of our purpose, then feel almost paralyzed, right? But then at the same time, if we just like, oh, I'm just going to float through life and don't act with any sort of urgency, or then we're not going to feel fulfilled either. Right. And so it's this tricky balance that I think we're always dancing with. It's kind of the masculine and the feminine, and as far as like the doing and the being, it's like we, you know, in the feminine, we're just kind of allowing ourselves to be. And then when we feel the impulse to respond, we can do and work towards that purpose. And so I think, I don't know, we talked about it maybe in our mastermind, talking about like, or some group, we talked about the need to always like feel like we're being productive, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes like being in the present moment is just like surrendering to like not doing anything, letting go of the purpose we feel really called to do. And by letting go of the things, it's like we allow ourselves to relax, and then we can, it almost prepares us to act from a different place than that like constant need and that constant pressure of doing the thing that we feel called to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to like the dinky, the come back to that. There was something that you said there and I have it here. Like the fear of death, like, in the DNK, it says that the fact of death leads directly to the question of the purpose of an individual's life. The prime purpose at a physical level is to maintain your health for as long as possible. Been there, worried about that. But there is another core purpose built into us, and that is to evolve. And for a human being, evolution means creative uniqueness. We are each born with a creative purpose that no other human being carries. And if you are to release your true creativity into the world, you must meet your own dark side. In other words, you must at some point face your deepest fear of death. And then it says the fact of death actually gives an edge to your life. Hello, the Mexicans. putting you under pressure to find your life purpose and to take the risk of following your individual dreams. And I love this next line. The amount of life you feel is directly proportionate to your willingness to face the fears that threaten your dreams. And then it says, actually, fear never threatens your dreams. Only your mind sees it that way. And then I just want to read another part too, that the fear of not finding your purpose is still really a dressed up fear of death. The majority of people don't even want to think about whether they are fulfilling their true purpose or not, because to do so is to look right into their deepest fears. So, yeah, you know, there's one last line. This is another great line. You must look deeply into your fears now in order to find your purpose, because your purpose actually lies within your fears. And I've got something I want to say about that. And then this killer line, this is why in the great mystical traditions, it is said that you must die before you can live. And, you know, that when I read it, I thought, you know what, that's what our awakenings are, right? Our awakenings are a death. It's a death moment. The death of who we were up until that point, and a rebirth into some other new version of us. So coming back to this idea of, you know, purpose, death, how death is a portal to more, it is this moment for us to realize there is more, right? It is this, you know, awakening moment. It's such a powerful thing. And what I have always, you know, there's that line there that said something about, you know, you've got to look into your fears to find your purpose. I had a moment several years ago, you know, pushing past my fears. To me, I feel like my life has been one long journey of here's my fear, try to face it, get past it. Oh, here's another one. Let's face it, get past it. That's the journey of my 3-5 life and in human design, and just something that is truly just what drives me forward, like growth, moving ahead, finding out why the hell I'm here so I can get on and do it. And I had this particularly really big fear. And I think it was really, it's all for me around authenticity and like getting the truth of me out there. And I had this realization, and I think I shared this on another episode though, that fear to me is actually like, it loves me so goddamn much that it holds the absolute highest standard for me. And it doesn't drop its bar to say, oh, well, you can just feel this much and then, okay, yes, you can pass through. It's like, no, you've got to go there. You've got to come all the way up here to this standard I hold for you, to the edge of this fear. You've got to feel it all. And you've got to come and pass through this gate because that's what you're worth. So that was such a powerful reframe for me on fear. And doesn't make it easier to face them, but if you can hold that in you, that those things and those fears that come up really are, it is the death process. It is a death to face a fear. You have to let go of something, a belief, a story, a programming, what you think is possible. You muster some other part of you, strength, courage, conviction, bravery, willingness to do that hard thing. And then you get out the other side and then you are new. There is this rebirth. There is a revealing of a different part of you. And so, you know, this is a sort of, let's say, maybe micro level where death is present for us all the time, and our fears and the facing of them, you know, is the death process that we live in our waking life. And so, you know, when we start to talk about like, what are the antidotes to these fears we have that step in the way of our purpose, it is starting to hold that kind of perspective, you know, like, it's a necessary process for us to step into our fullness, our potential, our truth, to become a better version of ourselves, to be a kinder person, more compassionate, more loving, to, you know, have better relationships, whatever it is. You know, death is a really potent part of the human experience that we really want to embrace as part of the journey, and maybe as often as we possibly can. Let's die again and again and again, you know, to truly, as that line said, you know, to really live.
Yeah. But I just got some cool thoughts pop into my head. Something really fascinating that, you know, I learned in medical school and that really stuck with me is that there's always cancer cells sprouting up in our body. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's our healthy immune system. When we have a healthy immune system, our healthy immune system is always taking care of those cancer cells. And when I think about cancer, there's so much fear associated with cancer, right? And even just a diagnosis of cancer can feed the fear that we might have of a diagnosis can feed that cancer. And so it's another thing that popped into my head that a teacher said was that in every moment of our life, we're always choosing life or death by what we, you know, she was specifically talking about like what we put in our mouths, but whether we're being ruled by fear or we're being ruled by love, right? We are making these two choices. And if we choose the being ruled by fear path long enough, right? Like that's a path that we go down, and the further down we get on that path, the more fear we are, it's harder to get out of, right? But if we're always being faced with like fear, or we'll say love, and we're choosing to move beyond our fear. So I'm not saying avoid our fear, move beyond it, right? To face it and get to the other side where that fear is not ruling us. It's, you know, what you're saying, I heard you saying, it's like, it's showing us what we're capable of, right? Mm-hmm. And if we never face it, we atrophy, we go towards the path of death, right? And so I think throughout our life, we need to keep doing the things that create a sense of, you know, we maybe want to do something like moving to another country, for example. I wanted to move to another country for a long time, but I was afraid to do it. And then that was a pivotal experience for me that, you know, I was able to do after being faced with my mom's death, that, you know, that pushed me to go to face my fear and see what I could create for myself. And it's become a template for living in a different way. Like I can now see when fear is coming, fear is stopping me, right? Yeah. I'm not doing something because fear is constricting me and holding me back. And, but because I had that experience of like taking a leap, right? Like I look at it like taking a leap off a cliff, you know, we had that feeling of like, oh, this feels big and I don't know what's on the other side. And I don't know if I'm gonna be caught on the other side. And it wasn't easy, the process, you know, there was a lot of shit that came up. But if I didn't do that, man, I couldn't imagine my life right now if I was still living the same story that I was living before we made this change in our lives. And so, yeah, I think that becoming friends with fear, right? And as you said, like looking at it as this opportunity for us to become who we came here to be, right? In this lifetime, who our soul, who we decided we wanted to be. And so if there wasn't something in it for us, it wouldn't hold such power, right? Over us.
Yeah. Neutral, I love
right?
that.
If it was like,
And I think, you know, exactly. We've got to face our fears, right? Like this is our portal, the pathway. This is the discomfort. This to me is always like the really rough textured sandpaper that we must literally rub on ourselves to, you know, to take several layers of skin off and come out the other side shinier. But something else that, you know, I really thought of this morning as we, you know, planned this topic was, you know, how else we can, you know, what are these antidotes to fear? Like, how can we face them to really tap into the, you know, fullness of life? Is this idea that, like, it sounds morbid when I say it, but we are already dying. We are always dying. Today is one less day that we have, right? Every day is one less day. And, you know, we've got to face our mortality head on, because something that's really come up for me as I said that was I've just spent the last 3 weeks with my mum on a holiday or vacation time, just her and I, like rare. I live abroad and I have for nearly 20 years and I don't see her that often. Before when she was younger, you know, okay, that's fine, but she's 73 now. She's in good health, but there's a real realization that we have entered into the final part of her life. My grandmother lived to 84. Her mother lived to 84 and she was in good health until she just kind of got ill and passed. But, you know, we had conversations about that it's such a precious time now that we have to, in this full awareness of like how many more of these opportunities we're going to have, you know, if say she has 10 more years and I see her once a year, that's 10 times. This is now I have 9, you know, like, so for me, while we were away, I really made a concerted effort to, you know, how can I invest my full attention, awareness and love and focus on her every single second that I'm spending with her? And so for me, that really meant, you know, what do I need to let go of that I normally have in my relationship with my mom? And, you know, I love her to death and, you know, and I want the best for her. So there's always, you know, wanting her to be doing more or like change this or change that. Right. And so I let go of all of that and I just can let go and like, let her be who she is. And then in that also, what else I can do is I can just give her that full acceptance of who she is and how she is and like really appreciate it. And so I made this real intentional effort to just be so present. Here we are again in that word with her in every single moment we had together and like just drink her in, you know, like she's so, you know, it helped me truly see her without all of the other things, you know, my desires for her, my wants for her, whatever our history, you know, our past is beautiful. So there's nothing bad there, but just the present moment, like that's how can I experience her now? And the lovingness, the kindness of how funny she is, how useful she still is in her age. And like, just enjoy that so much. And in some ways it really helped me see her in a new way, you know, like, and in a different way and for the first time, see her in a certain way and let myself receive from her and let her give and see how that lights her up. And, you know, that is really how we can also live our lives, right? It's in the face of her death, I get to choose my experience with her. In the face of my own death, I get to choose my experience for me. And I just wrote some things here and really that this is it, right? This is the moment right now, like right now, this is it. Like we make the choice now. You know, I've spent so much time of my life in a feeling of waiting, like until XYZ happens. And I know everybody has had that experience or is having that experience, right? We think some future moment is going to bring us the fulfillment, the joy, the happiness, you know, that thing. And like I said at the start, you know, like I'm 45. Am I going to be living my purpose properly at 60? Well, maybe, but does that negate now?
What if you're living it right now? What if
exactly,
you are living your purpose?
Exactly. Yeah. Does that negate the fullness of this moment now? No, this is my purpose right now, to continue to seek something more and more and more. I'm living it. Like how we can open our eyes to that. Like this is it. The facing of the fear, as we said, as the Jinky said, the choice in this moment to seek more, grow, push ourselves, like that's it. We're doing it. And then how do we embrace that moment now? And so, you know, it's a journey, right? It's a journey. And I wanted to say in the Gene Keys, it says like the gift of this idea of facing our death is totality. And that is to live alongside fear, to live with the unexpected, and to stay open to continual change whilst remaining committed. But it's also a continual state of taking risks. And then it says the risk of building something that you cannot really see until it's complete. What you are building, of course, is the path of your true destiny. This is a path of deep trust in which the individual strikes out on their path, surrendering their whole being into the mystery of life and its hidden rhythms. To be total is to be alive in every sense. In the resonant vessel of each moment, fear cannot survive, and thus you experience a deepening calm and quietness growing naturally within. And, you know, there's so much truth in that. Like you said before, like can surrender to this moment. And also in there, it talks about totality being like really embracing just the whole journey of life. It's the pleasure and the pain, you know. When we try to avoid those painful parts, we're living a half life. You know, this is the full experience that we've spoken of so many times. So, you know, again, as I said before, like death is right here. There's not another guaranteed second. And something else I often think about is like, think about our physical bodies, right? It's dying right now in the sense that cells die off, skin renews, like blood cells die. Like there's death, death is in part of me, you know, like it's not separate from us. There's not some thing down the end of the line. Like it is part of who we are and it happens every day. So why are we afraid of it?
Yeah. I love that you had that experience with your mom. And, you know, I think there's many who maybe come to that place, maybe after they've already passed, right? Mm-hmm. So for you to be able to have that awareness, I mean, it does feel a little bit, there's like this bittersweetness, right? Of like, mm-hmm. It's like it's the joy and the sorrow of life is that the impermanence of it.
Yeah.
And even if she's still here, the version of her that you're going to be with next time is not the version of her that she is right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I see that with my kids, right? Like it's like these two beings that are transforming before my eyes. And mm-hmm. It's both beautiful and it's sad at the same time that, mm-hmm. you know, it's really cool. But then it's, yeah, that they're growing up, that they're going to be like, they're no longer babies. They're no longer little kids that, you know, that they're not in that phase. That's gone. That phase of mm-hmm. their life is over, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. there's like a more like learning how to mourn and grieve and feel those feelings, right?
Yeah,
like it's not, yeah, there's power in that. And I think that we can learn how to do that for both the stages of life, like the moments in time, right? And also actual people leaving mm-hmm. Earth, right? Like, and I think the more that we are living, the more changes that the more we're letting go of things, right? To become something new, we have to let go of the old and maybe let go of things that there are aspects of it that we like. And so we hold on to things longer than we need to, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we don't want to let things go. And so learning to have, you know, ceremonies or, you know, rituals around like the letting go process to become our next version, to allow, you know, our relationships are always evolving if, mm-hmm. you know, and yes. to for us to grow, for our relationships to grow, we have to let go of what once was, right? And so I think, yeah, being with those feelings that come up, right? Like mm-hmm. going through, that was really powerful for me with my mom, was recognizing the grief, like the stages of the grief that I experienced. And there's something powerful that's like a portal in and of itself mm-hmm. to feel all the feelings and not suppress those feelings, not, mm-hmm. you know, I think numbing the feelings with substances or, you know, trying to avoid them, but really feeling them, like that was mm-hmm. very powerful for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of my opening awakening that happened, was like feeling that
yeah.
all the range of emotions. And something that I experienced, I started going to this Unitarian Universalist church when my mom was sick, because it was a church that she had this dream of moving to where we lived and being close to her grandkids, and that she wanted to go to this church. And when she found out that she would, like, this was not, did not have a good prognosis, the first thing she, like, it was kind of like she was hit with a ton of bricks, and like the realization, like what she said was, I thought I had more time. And mm-hmm. and so I went back home after that particular trip, and I started going to this church on Sunday. And I think I was in the midst of, like, you know, always starting to cry, like, very easily in that phase. Mm-hmm. But this, at this church, they would, every Sunday, they would have, they do what are called the joys and the sorrows. And people mm-hmm. would get up and they would either share their joys or share their sorrows mm-hmm. and just share it with a group of people that, like, we would either celebrate with them or mm-hmm. would hold space for them to mm-hmm. feel, you know, to be in whatever sadness they were experiencing. And like, to me, like that range of emotion, like, I feel like that's where has been really powerful for me, I guess, in my own journey, is like mm-hmm. learning how to be with this, like, vast mm-hmm. array of emotions that are elicited within us through mm-hmm. this whole birth and death cycle that we, mm-hmm. you know, both physically mm-hmm. and in our lives, mm-hmm. it's like learning to be with those emotions. Like, that's mm-hmm. where I feel like there's so much for us to learn. And I do think that, like, that's part of, like, what we're cultivating, right? Like,
yeah.
to feel and to, yeah. you know, they say, yeah. I don't know if you've heard this, it's like Earth is it's a watery planet, right? And that's yeah. all about our emotions. And so yeah. I think that's what death can open up for us, right?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
this like idea that we, yes, we want joy, but, you know, we also need to be able to feel the diversity of what life is, right? It's, mm-hmm. it is feeling sadness at the things that deserve to feel sadness over, mm-hmm. right? And that's mm-hmm. like, in a way, like, feeling sadness is honoring.
Yeah, it's honoring love.
It's honoring life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I love that, because, you know, it's like death is a portal to life. Like, death allows us to truly live, and to truly live is to truly feel, you know. And, you know, something that I've experienced here in Japan, you know, before my awakening, like, I went through a really hard time, and I moved into feeling, you know, the spectrum of emotions I've never spent a lot of time in, ones I probably tried to avoid, you know, anger, like such deep anger, like the edges of anger, like so fired up, and fear and sadness and other things, like, and yet as challenging as they were to feel and knew, I've never felt more alive in my life, allowing myself to just, you know, and I had no other choice. There's no way out of them, because there's so much going on that I just had to feel them. But I did. I felt so alive, right? And again, we've said this before, they're not bad things to experience. They're just feelings. Like, this is a feeling vessel. And I just really love you tapping into grief. Like, I think that should be something we embrace more often. This is a challenging world to live in. And so much is changing so fast. We're changing. And I think especially now, right? I don't know how many people I've seen have go through, you know, marriages are breaking down, relationships are falling apart. People are just dying, not even that old, right? There's a lot of things going on there in that realm, you know, so we have to move that energy, right? That's our death process on anything in our lives where we've got an ending, a completion. Our awakening is filled with that, right? Like we're changing so fast and becoming someone else that a lot gets left behind. A lot of people get left behind. A lot of ways of being, thinking, feeling, all of it. Like it's okay to be not happy with that process and to feel a sense of loss. Feel that. Because this is part of the process. This is the death. And in its own time, there is that clearing and that sense of, you know, completion with those feelings that you do then feel that sense of, you know, renewal and rebirth and hope and possibility. And you come out the other side and like, you know, it's a constant swing of that pendulum. Like the more that pendulum swings and to feel all the range of emotions uninhibited, like that is us really living life and growing and evolving, because really truly that point of us awakening, the point of us living, point of us being here is this evolution, is this continuous growth, is, you know, and it's an emotional experience. And yeah, that I think is how we can really bring death in as an ally and just and embrace it as part of the process. Like, you know, even when I say the word death, I just get that image in my head of like, you know, the black hooded figure with a, whatever the thing is, what is the thing he holds?
A scythe.
A scythe. You know, we're so ingrained to think that that's what death is, right? But what, no. Like, let's invite in some opportunity to sit and say, okay, what does death mean to me? And what's a new image I want to have of death? Like, you know, forget what we've been told to think death means. What does it mean to you? What has your experience with death been? How has it transformed your life? You know, obviously in the big ways where we've lost loved ones or relationships or whatever versions of self, but how has that truly been a gift, death in our life, you know, in the longer term? And how can we see the gift in that? And what death gives us when we really look at it and face it, and how we can, yeah, bring more of that awareness into our life to just align ourselves to, you know, the fullness of what we are able to experience in this moment.
This moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that I've noticed that a lot of the people that I've come across in my time living abroad, most people have had a parent that's passed on. And I think that for me, and what I feel is that our loved ones leave a lot of times as a gift to awaken something within us, yeah, to begin to start to ask questions and examine what it is that we're doing here. And are we living in alignment with we truly are and what we came here to do. And so, you know, we had that conversation, Lauren, about the babies, you know, the mm-hmm. babies entering mm-hmm. and right. Like to reframe how we think about lives, right? Like we've contracted with the people in our lives and only by truly loving can, you know, we feel this sadness because we loved, right? Uh-huh. And so the impact that they have when they leave is for us, right? Mm. It's for us to choose a different way of living, right? Of to choose something more. And it's not to say that we're, you know, we were happy our loved ones go, but it's to say that we honor them by having their death mean something, right?
Exactly.
Impacting our lives in a strong way. That's mm-hmm. honoring them more than just, you know, go not to judge any way that someone reacts and responds to the death of a loved one, but to, you know, live in a dark hole versus, you know, and we can live in a dark hole for a certain amount of time until we get to the point where it's like, okay, now what? what's my life going to be about now? And sometimes we have to go into the dark cave and go into dark places, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the process, right? Of like coming out a different version of ourselves. Like we can almost go through a death process, right? If someone was close to us and they pass away, it's like, okay, we're the version of us that had that person with us. That version of us is also gone too, right? So it's also a version of us dies when someone that we love and that's been a part of our lives passes on. But it's also reassuring that like you can cultivate a relationship with them, like as Suzanne Giesman has demonstrated, that it can deepen our connection to something beyond. And you know what the people here living in Mexico's celebrating Dia de Muertos, going to the cemeteries on, you know, they're going to the cemeteries, they're creating these offerings, they go and they tell stories about their loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like they live on through us by the way we continue living, by the way we acknowledge them. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think reframing it as like a beautiful process of this life journey, to me, like it's powerful, and it's powerful in both its sadness and its rawness, like in what it does, what it like jolts open within us through the process. So yeah, I like my life is better through having had these experiences, which is weird to think about, right? Because I think I had as a kid, I had a fear of my parents dying. And so to have like a parent die and like have it, my life change in such positive ways. Like that's not something my mind would have imagined.
No. Yeah. And I really think your story is so beautiful in that it is this, you know, depending on anyone's situation, of course, it's going to be different, but there is, you've just really shown that there is so much. And as you just explained, like, how there can be a gift in someone's passing, you know, like they're, like you said, we are now no longer the version of us that had that person in our life. So we die too. What does that open up for us? Like, who are we now? And what does that person's life mean for you? And how would you want to live differently based on who they were, what that relationship was? And, you know, it brings us one step closer to our own end. And it gives us such a powerful opportunity to ask that deeper question and like, well, with what time I do have left, how do I want to spend it? Like, what do I choose and what do I choose now? And, you know, I think there's so much we can strip away and so much we can embrace instead. And we all, you know, can come to that in our own ways. But death is one way we can begin to bring that a lot closer to really start to do that now. So Amanda, this is a great conversation. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Well, I just wanted to say what you mentioned about the choosing, right? You hear this, like, and it made me think of the stories of the people who are diagnosed with cancer, and maybe they choose to start living how they would live if they only were given a certain amount of time. Like maybe they're told that it can't be treated. And so they're like, okay, you know, get your affairs in order. And then they go start living. I've probably heard these stories. I've heard the story enough. And then it's like, they truly start living and like their cancer goes into remission. Like Anita Morjani, you know, last name.
Yes.
You know her?
Yep.
Yeah. Her story is quite remarkable. Like that's quite a dramatic one, but it's like, you know, she was on death's doorstep and all her cancer disappeared from her body. And so it's like, what happens when we like let go of truly surrendering to what we desire, what our soul wants. And so like you said, we do have a choice. And so thanks it's funny, we both came to this topic of this conversation from, like, you came to it from presence and I was thinking about death, and it's like, it's cool to see how closely linked those two topics are. And like, it's really encompassing of the life experience. So it's funny it's cool to see how in sync we are, but from different angles, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.